A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and 26 through 31. God creates the heavens and the earth and calls them good. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that light and saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God they were created, male and female, God created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Second lesson is a reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 to 15 and 17 to 19. A reading of Adam and Eve disobey God and disrupt the order and goodness of creation. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Among your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. The peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Luke, chapter 1, 26 to 38. The angel Gabriel visits Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew tells of the angel's visit to Joseph and the birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to begin tonight with something of a riddle. What goes through walls but slows to a standstill in ultra-cold gases? What carries electronic information to radios and TVs but destroys genetic information in cells? What bends around buildings and squeezes through pinholes but ricochets off tiny electrons? Any guesses? The answer is light. Author Michael Shermer calls light an enduring mystery. It's both a wave and a particle. It is low-energy radio waves and high-energy gamma rays. It zips around us, bounces off of us, and sometimes goes through us. Because it is so many things, defining light is a bit of a philosophical quandary. It is perhaps fitting, then, that light's true identity, Shermer writes, wave or particle, is unanswerable, an enduring mystery to explore. We've spent the season of Advent exploring an equally fascinating mystery, one that is central to our faith as Christians, the Incarnation. Incarnation is a big theological word that we use a lot of during this time of year, during this season of Advent and Christmas. It represents a particular doctrine or belief in our Christian faith, the belief that in the person of Jesus Christ, God became one of us. God was incarnate in Jesus, we say. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John wrote in our last scripture reading. But what are we saying with those words? What does it mean to say that the Word became flesh and lived among us? How did that happen? And what does it mean for our lives today? Our journey through Advent this year has been shedding light on this mystery, but rather than a floodlight which bombards every surface and exposes every little speck and shadow, this light has been more like headlights on a car or a spotlight, which illumines only the road ahead of us or some specific area or thing. Over the past 4 weeks, we've looked at incarnation through some of the names of Jesus, like Lord and King, Emmanuel and Savior, and also through the Advent candle words of hope, peace, love, and joy. All of these have enlightened our way into this mystery, offering us glimpses into the greater reality beyond our human awareness and even comprehension, and helping us reach this point tonight when we light the Christ candle and we discover how the incarnation, how God with us, not only illumines the past, but also the way forward into the new year. Even after our 4 week journey, however, we aren't anywhere close to grasping the incarnation. Just like how light can be both particle and wave, how Jesus was fully God and fully human is still a mystery. But now I hope it's also an invitation, not simply to see what it is, but what our incarnation does. An invitation to stop only looking backwards at what happened in the past and start letting the good news of God with us light our path today and into the future. The Christian faith was never meant simply to be a retrospective look at the past with the benefit of 2020 hindsight or a sentimental trip down faith's memory lane, stopping to ooh and to ah over a newborn baby, as author and Episcopal priest Cynthia Bourgeau writes in her book, Wisdom Jesus. If that's all tonight is for us, she says, it lulls us into a false sense of security, that somehow sitting here tonight, we're on the winning team, that as Christians, we might convince ourselves that we would recognize and know Jesus when he showed up, that all faith really is about is a nice story, something that happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Faith like that is simply an add-on, but not a necessity. Like an extracurricular activity or a luxury, an extra to pick us up when we get down or when we need a little help through the day. But even more problematic, only looking backwards takes away from us the key tool that we need to find and live the path today, the key tool we need to connect with the person, God with us here and now. In other words, it deprives us of our own journey into the mystery of the incarnation. That's the real invitation of the incarnation. How are you and I recognizing God with us now? How are we seeing the presence of God all around us, even within us every day? How are we hearing and responding to Jesus' invitation to follow me, to love the world the way God did so long ago and still does today? How we think about God with us in Jesus Christ really matters. In his book, Christian Doctrine, author Shirley Guthrie writes, "In this real flesh and blood man, Jesus of Nazareth, God was uniquely present in the world. This man was not just a great teacher of profound truths about God and the secret of a happy, successful life. He was not just a revolutionary political leader with a vision of for a more humane and just society. He was not just a great moral hero for us to imitate as best we can. He was not just a very godlike personality, the model of a truly spiritual life. Nor was he just the founder of a religious club called the Church, where religious people with a common interest in him come together to admire him and admire themselves for admiring him. To know this man is not just to know a very great, very good, very wise, very spiritual human being. It is to know God. His miraculous birth is a sign of the fact that where he comes from, who he is, and what he does cannot be explained in terms of the ordinary process of human life and history. This man comes from God. What he says and what he does is God's word and God's action. He is Emmanuel, God with us. If that's who Jesus is, God with us, then the incarnation, what we celebrate tonight, a baby, yes, but a baby born to show us God's love through his own life, death, and resurrection, is not meant to be a story of the past. It is meant to ask us, where is God right now in your life? Where is God showing up in the world around you and far beyond you? Author Wesley Granberg Michelson goes so far as to ask, how is the incarnation re-enchanting the way we see the world? Do we see the interconnections of life, he writes, down to the quantum entanglement of particles mysteriously communicating information, to the synchronicity of trees in a forest somehow sharing warnings of danger to one another, to the miracles that defy any other explanation? Do we see how they point to a world where material and spiritual dimensions are always interconnected into a single, indivisible whole? Do we see this life and all of its parts as sacred? If we do, then we are practicing incarnation. We are practicing God with us right now, where the eternal and all of creation are united together. Our answer to his question and what the incarnation means will only be answered in the way we let the good news of God with us enlighten our way beyond this night. God with us means that we will see this world through the lens of God's love and join God in loving this world. God with us means that we will feed the folks in our neighborhood who need help, and we will advocate for all people everywhere to have the basic necessities of life. God with us means that we will be companions with each other as we go through the mental health challenges that happen in this life. And we will work for a more compassionate world for all people. God with us means that we will stop acting like our individual rights are more important than the health and the well-being of the larger community and the world. God with us means that we won't just ask, where is God in my life? But we will enter into the life of others and ask, how is God with them also, rejoicing and suffering with them? Maybe even letting ourselves become God's hands and God's feet, God's voice and God's presence with them and for them. Like light, we don't control the mystery of the incarnation, but we are invited to participate in it. Christmas is about saying yes to God's invitation. To receive the light of the Christ candle is to say yes to the presence of God with us now, and to be willing to carry that light into in who you are and in what you do. To receive the light of Christ is saying that you and I are willing to let that light guide our lives and to look for it in the lives of others and in all of creation. To receive the light of Christ this night is to learn to love this world the way God does and to trust the good news we celebrate this night and all throughout the year. The light of the world is here. God is with us always. Amen.